The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game powered by DraftKings Sportsbook. I am your host, Jared Smith, in for Gil Alexander today. He will be back. Is Gil back tomorrow?
A week from today.
A week from today. So you get another cavalcade rotating
Benny
guest
Wilson.
Host.
Benny Wilson will be there. Benny and the Bets.
Ben and I have got a big show coming up this Saturday and every Saturday going forward. Live Bet Saturday. Ben and I are going to be in the saddle for the foreseeable future. In the saddle right now is our guy Jim Root of the Three Man Weave. Follow him on social media at Second Chance Points. Always great to catch up with you, Jim. College basketball, listen, we are here. Super Bowl is over. That means all the football fans are flooding back into the college basketball. You got to work a little extra harder to get that number, huh?
That's the goal, man. You try to get as much value as possible. Yeah, there's more opinions coming into the market. So sometimes I even am surprised by a move where I feel like over the first couple of months, you kind of get a sense of, all right, market's probably going to go this way with the game. But because there are more people coming in and people with stronger money, I do think there's some sort of surprising moves that have made the market a little bit harder to read. But it does leave some entertainment value to be had. I'm just trying to read the board as much as possible.
I always find it funny because the overnights are something we like to look at and chat about. And some of the moves are very intriguing. What have you seen with your Missouri Tigers? They are a double-digit home dog tonight facing Tennessee. Of course, we've heard the narratives, the trends, the top 10 teams on the road have really struggled this year. Straight up 37-37 for those top 10 teams against unranked opponents on the road this year. Do your Tigers have a chance to upset the Vols?
No, they do not. This is a nightmare season for Mizzou. Yesterday, the athletic director left for Arizona for a cheaper salary and a arguably worse job, not in the SEC. I think this not the full athletic program's in panic or anything, but given the fact that Mizzou hasn't won an SEC basketball game this year, it's just not a great sign with everything that's going around Columbia right now. They did battle over the weekend. They actually had kind of a game effort against Mississippi, but they're 2-12 against the spread at home this year. There's basically no juice in that building. It's been really bad, man. They're like bottom 10 in the country and against the spread record. And Tennessee's been dominant on the road. The offense has lit teams up. This is a stat that kind of blew my mind, Jared. Tennessee road games this year, they played 8. They're 7-1 to the over, and they're going over by an average of 18 points a game over those 8. And there's no overtimes involved there, so it's not like it's skewed by that. Maybe not as sharp defensively, but the offense has been there. They've been willing to get up and down. So I do lean the over there, but I'm also going to lay it with Tennessee. I just think they can name their number in this game. Mizzou has been a train wreck, like I said. And, you know, given the fact that maybe they've rolled over a little bit despite a stronger effort over the weekend and getting Sean East back, Tennessee's still right in the picture for a one seed. They know style points matter. I think they blow out Mizzou.
Might have to put that the flag upside down, right? That's usually what you do when Missouri loses a game.
It's true, man. I actually do need to get that going again.
I remember that was a thing a couple years ago. I bring it back, Jim. Everything that's old is new again. All right, UConn and Creighton, great game tonight in the Big East. Of course, I think UConn has kind of deserved to ascend to the top of the college basketball futures rankings, futures odds, as they've kind of taken control of the country over the last couple weeks, Purdue falling off a little bit. But tight line tonight on the road at Creighton. This is a revenge game. UConn won the first game in stores. What should we make tonight in Omaha?
And I just think UConn kind of asserts itself tonight. There is, like, you know, the talk of how Purdue lost. Now, is UConn really going to, like, completely assert themselves as the team? Obviously, they blew out Marquette over the weekend. I think they take advantage of this this kind of narrative chance and just stamp the definitively, we are the number one team in the country, rise to the number one overall seed. I think there's still some debate of whether it's Purdue or UConn just because of resume stuff, but after this quality road win, I kind of think UConn gets up there. Creighton plays that drop coverage with Kalkbrenner. They let you get into the mid-range area. And Tristan Newton, Cam Spencer, those guys are going to dominate in that area. Newton's terrific in that range. Starts to pull in some more help if Creighton has to get outside their defensive comfort zone and actually bring more than two to the ball in those ball screens. That's when UConn can really start to thrive. It basically turns into a shooting competition against Creighton. We call them the jump shooting Jays because they love to get in just shooting competitions. And I think we see that again, but I trust UConn to make those shots. It's going to be a great home environment. I think they're doing a stripe out in Lincoln or in Omaha. So yeah, blue section, white section, blue section. And it'll be great. But I think UConn just kind of shows that they're better and that there's not enough athleticism in that Creighton defense to bother UConn to the extent that you need to.
Quick follow-up. Is there still value at the top of the futures market with UConn? Like that number is going to keep getting shorter. I saw plus 115 to make the Final Four at Circuit. My guess is if they win this game, not a lot left other than that game at Marquette down the stretch for them to, you know, fall back a little bit.
Yeah, that's kind of the quandary I'm in here. I've got a great portfolio of futures, but the one team at the top I don't have any of is UConn. And now I'm like completely settled in and resigned to the fact that they're the best team and the clear favorite. And I'm like, man, I wish I had some sort of investment on them. And I've been going back and forth, Jared, if I should get a little bit on there as like a hedge to my portfolio. But I haven't done it yet. And like you said, I don't think the price is going to get any better. So I might just have to be blindly hoping for an upset in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. And I think, you know, even if, let's say they lose this game tonight, even if they get blown out tonight, I don't see that number dropping down too considerably just because of who else is out there at the top of the heap right now. It certainly looks like UConn is the best team in the country, maybe Purdue right there, but definitely those two teams. Big 12. It's always interesting when these Big 12, traditional Big 12 teams go to a new Big 12 environment. And this Big 12 environment in Provo is unlike anything else because it's altitude and it's Utah and it's just a weird place to play. Baylor on the road tonight, catching four now. Again, you've seen BYU be the favorite bet out against Baylor. Does that surprise you with the Cougs?
Yeah, I just like general looking at these teams, my power rating, I would make it a lot closer to pick, but I think you got to give a ton for home here. Baylor going from West Virginia in the Eastern time zone all the way over to their first trip to altitude here with BYU's home court advantage. It's going to be a terrific, terrific environment at the Marriott Center. I think that the line has definitely accounted for that increased travel and going to altitude, but I still do lean to BYU. They shot like garbage at Oklahoma State over the weekend. Feels like a nice get right back at home spot where they've been really, really good all year. I think something like 11-4 against the spread. I got to verify that, but really, really good home team. And now given that tough travel spot for Baylor, you get a little bit of the sell high on Baylor, buy low on BYU. I think a lot of the narratives and stuff point to it. And then so did just some of the straight handicapping angles.
Yeah. I laid three with BYU last night, right before that thing jumped to four. I think 3.5 still a fair bet. I saw a couple 3.5s floating out there. SEC action, Texas A&M, revenge game for them. Lost to the Must Bus back on January 16th by a point, and now they're laying double digits tonight at home in College Station against Arkansas. What's your vibe here?
Yeah, I'm going to lay it at home here with A&M. They've lost two in a row, now back home in front of the home crowd. The two losses were on the road. Again, I think kind of like a get-right spot here. Arkansas has been shorthanded. The lineups have been really weird for Musselman. He's playing some of his starters like 5 minutes and then going heavy bench lineups the rest of the game. Seems like he's still trying to throw stuff at the wall, figure out what works. I'm not going to say Arkansas has quit because they have been a little bit competitive recently, but it's just not a great environment to go to Texas A&M and play a team that's hyper-physical. They want to beat you in what we call the extras, like getting turnovers, offensive rebounds, get more shots than you. If you're not game for a battle, then Texas A&M can kind of run you. And I just don't know that Arkansas has that in them right now. So I like A&M, like you said, getting the revenge, kind of the buy low spot off two losses back home. I like the Aggies there, even laying double digits.
Good game out west, late night, if you want to stay up. San Francisco at St. Mary's. This is a revenge game for San Francisco, but you're on the road tonight. St. Mary's won that one earlier in the season pretty handily. Can the Dons keep things close?
And I don't know. I just from a stylistic lens, I'm really concerned about San Francisco and how they score. St. Mary's is so disciplined defensively. They're a little like Creighton, where they want to only play ball screens with two defenders. They don't help off shooters. They don't give you open threes. So you need like really brilliant ball handling creators to score against them. Guys that can, you know, get in that mid-range, hit a teardrop or hit a pull-up jumper. I don't think that's really what San Francisco has. And I think that's why they struggled to score in that first matchup. Now, I'm not going to lay it with St. Mary's because they're missing Joshua Jefferson. He's out indefinitely. Arguably their third best player this year. Their most versatile, athletic forward. They kind of are a little more wing heavy without him. He's out indefinitely with a knee injury. So I'm not going to lay it with St. Mary's, but the style and the matchup is enough to just kind of make me wary about back in San Francisco there.
Yeah, we saw that number come down from 8 down to 6.5, and that's where we saw some buyback on St. Mary's there at 7. That's kind of where the market is floating now. How about the MAC? And I haven't bet the MAC a whole lot this year, but you've got your eye on this Ohio-Kent State matchup tonight.
Yeah, yeah, taking another home team, laying at it's much, much closer spread here, -3.5. But I just think the Bobcats have been trending up. They had some injuries early in the year. They've gotten guys back in the rotation, Miles Brown most notably. And then Kent State has been a little bit of a mess. One of the preseason, you know, top three-ish teams in this conference have not lived up to that expectation at all. They've been messing with their lineups. Chris Payton was supposed to be like potentially preseason player of the year in this league, and he's been coming off the bench, playing less than 20 minutes a game. It seems like Rob Senderoff just isn't satisfied with his team there. Now, they did just blow out Northern Illinois over the weekend by 38. Oh. And Ohio's lost a couple tough road games in a row. But again, I see this as kind of, all right, you get a little bit of inflated value there because of that monster win that Kent State had. And then two tough, tough road losses. I mean, Ohio losing by two at Toledo is no small effort. Yeah. I was very impressed by that. So getting them back home off those road losses against a team that maybe is feeling itself a little too much off a blowout. I like Ohio there, -3.5.
Good stuff, Jim Root, Three Man Weave. Follow him on social media at Second Chance Points. Always great to check in with you, pal.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. A lot of great hoops coming up. I can't wait, man. It's our month. It's our time.
This is our month. And again, if you don't follow Jim and his work, they do such a great job handicapping not just the top of the heap. Every team on the docket is certainly something to be said. Don't forget the MAC, too. They love to score points there in that conference. Great stuff, Jim. On the other side, we have a new mock draft from Daniel Jeremiah, great NFL analyst, revealing part two of his very long saga of mock drafts. We'll check in, and maybe I'll disagree, maybe I'll agree. Numbers game.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz. Free VSiN daily newsletter. In today's newsletter, lots of NBA as we get set for the second half. I saw JBT's got some futures market stuff out there. And, of course, Bill 80 doing all the good stuff behind the scenes. Get expert analysis, latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Jared Smith back with you here on A Numbers Game in for Gil Alexander today. We want to thank our guest Jim Root. Likes the Huskies tonight. UConn on the road at Creighton. Really likes Texas A&M. Home game against Arkansas. A little revenge spot there for the Aggies. And he'll take Ohio at home against Kent State. Kelly Bidlin here with us as well. And Kedley, it's that time of the show. It's that time of the show where...
Yeah, what was that? Kedley?
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 Kedley Jansen?
I kind of like it. Kedley.
Kedley Bidlin? Well, it kind of rhymes with your name. Kedley Bidlin?
There you go, yeah.
That's super Irish. Kedley Bidlin. It's that time of the show where we get to go through some of these yes-no tourney odds. And again, it's following on the college basketball theme. We'll get to some NFL stuff. I mentioned Daniel Jeremiah just dropped his mock draft 2.0. There's one interesting switch
that he's already made
his mock draft 1.0. I'm always fascinated. Again, the mock draft 1.0 like just happened. So what in the last week has taken place to make Daniel switch a very high-profile player at the top? We'll get to that in a minute. But we want to continue the college basketball conversation for just a moment here because new market here on DraftKings. Over the last week or so, you're starting to see yes-no tourney odds populate the market. We'll probably get more teams over the next couple of weeks, but a decent start here. And I think if we look at this graphic, and there's about 12 teams on this list, of 13 teams, excuse me, Colorado there at the bottom. I think the most intriguing team on either side for me right now is Gonzaga.
And these are all the ones that DraftKings has.
Yeah, this is it.
But,
right?
You know, it's like you said, they just posted these 2 days ago.
Yes,
I'm sure they'll be new. I'm sure they'll be adding to this. And I'm sure they'll be taking some away from it, too, as they get closer to, you know, looking like they'll be in the tournament or out of it.
I think with these odds, you've got to, especially if you're picking a mid-major, I think you have to frame it two different ways, right? If you're picking a Texas A&M or a Nebraska or a Butler, right? You're handicapping the non-conference schedule. You're handicapping what they've done in the non-conference and just their overall vibe in their conference. In the case of a Grand Canyon or a Gonzaga, you are handicapping, in my opinion, the conference tournament. Maybe not so much with Grand Canyon, definitely with Gonzaga. I don't know if Gonzaga has enough chops to make the tournament just based on their at-large resume. I think they're going to have to win. By the way, that tournament will be played about
10 miles north of here in Los, or south of here at the Orleans Casino.
I was just going to say, 10 miles north here. That's going to be interesting.
South. I had to get my bearings for a minute. About 10 miles south of where we are here in downtown Las Vegas at the Orleans Casino. Interesting place, very interesting place for a college basketball tournament. But that is where the West Coast Conference Tournament historically plays their conference championship. I think they're going to have to beat St. Mary's. I think they're going to have to win that conference tournament. So you look on the no side, plus 220. Is Gonzaga going to be a big enough underdog in that game to warrant a no bet? I think maybe yes. And I think that's because they're probably going to be a 3 or 4 point dog on a neutral. Now you have to handicap the other games as well. The West Coast Conference does that unique style where I think you only have to win two games, I think, to win the tournament. I might be wrong on the exact format in the bracket, but they have a smaller conference tournament. So I think Gonzaga would only have to win. I think if they're a 4 seed or higher, you have to win 3. If they're the 1 or the 2 seed, I think they're going to be the 2 seed. You only have to win
double bye or whatever.
Double bye, and then you only have to win your semifinal game, and then you're in the championship. So Gonzaga, theoretically speaking, again, if you are of the belief that they are not an at-large team, there's only 2 games on their schedule that matter for this particular market, and that is both of those conference tournament games, theoretically semifinal and final. They're probably going to be a double-digit favorite in the semifinal against some bad West Coast Conference bottom feeder, and then they'll play St. Mary's, hypothetically, in the final, and they're going to be an underdog in that game. And I don't know if they're going to be a huge underdog in that game, but you're telling me the yes is minus $3, I think I would bet the no on Gonzaga right now. Because then you could always come back on St. Mary's on the money line in that championship game, and you would theoretically be covering your bet. Now, maybe the at-large situation's changed for Gonzaga over the last week, but that Kentucky win helps. But I still think overall body of work, it's going to be tough for them to get in as an at-large.
Now, this is kind of an unfair question because you like the no on this anyways, but does this pricing for this just speak to the lack of good teams that are going to be getting or at large bids?
I think it's the Gonzaga name brand.
Okay.
I think a lot of it is it is very hard to price this market.
Yeah.
There is no power ratings for grading how the tournament committee views these teams. We are kind of arbitrarily kind of reminds me of like the dunk contest pricing. We're handicapping voters and judges trying to, you know, committee select these teams. Obviously, they're not in the top 16, which was the committee just, you know, released that over the weekend. But I don't know if Gonzaga's an at-large team right now. Now, this market is telling you they might be based off of the price.
Yeah.
But I think the price might be overinflating Gonzaga because of the name brand just a little bit. So while I'm not running to the window to bet the no on Gonzaga, if I were to make one wager in this market right now, if you said, here's $100, Jared, you have to pick one of these 13 teams, no on Gonzaga is where I put my $100.
It's going to be interesting to see how these move too, right? Because in theory, I don't want to suggest this, anybody do this, but monitor maybe for next season. If, you know, how many over these last few, you know, final weeks, how many times could you grab a, you know, what, a small plus price on Villanova for the yes, come back, you know, later on and play a no on them?
Villanova's an interesting theme. They've played it a little. Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that because they have been playing a little bit better recently. Just beat Seton Hall and Georgetown back to back. Of course, those aren't great teams, but in the Big East, anytime you're 500 in the Big East, I think you've got a puncher's chance, but they don't have the non-com. Actually, you know, they actually do. They beat UNC in overtime. They beat Texas Tech. Actually, let's leave it at this. Nova's got a better resume than Gonzaga does in terms of their non-conference schedule. Hey, Gonzaga's best wins at Kentucky. It's a great win, but that's their best win. Like, they don't have another top 50 non-conference win. That's it. And frankly, the way Kentucky's played this year, it's been so volatile. But that win for Kentucky the other night against Auburn was absolutely huge. So this is an interesting market. This is a market I will pay attention to because it reminds me a lot of the MVP markets, the awards markets. You are not handicapping. You are, in a sense, more so than an MVP. You're not handicapping the teams as much as you are the committee. And the historical trends that the committee has used with a lot of these mid-major teams trying to get an at-large. Do they favor the high major team that plays in a tougher? The West Coast Conference this year is really bad.
historically bad. So it's just they don't have a lot of those good wins to bank off of, and they don't have those historical Gonzaga wins from non-conference schedule that just you would think that maybe, you know, if you just rolled out of bed and you're like, wait a minute, Gonzaga might not make the tournament. Yeah, there's a chance they might not make the tournament this year, although the pricing says they will. I think there might be a little bit of value on the no. All right, let's move on. The NFL draft. How many mock drafts are we going to overanalyze?
Oh, I love it. I love every second of it.
Three or so, 2.5 months. Daniel Jeremiah, who, listen, ton of respect for these guys. Absolutely. Yeah. Ton of respect for these guys, what they do every day. But he made a change on his mock draft. So mock draft 1.0, he had Jane Daniels going third to the Patriots. This was like a week ago.
Yep.
This was recent. The mock draft 2.0 came out about an hour ago. The most notable change in his mock draft, part two, he bumped Daniels down from third to now sixth to the Giants, and now he has the Patriots drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. with the number 3 overall selection. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to get into here. Okay, one thing.
Lay it on me.
One thing Dale Jeremiah makes clear at the beginning of his mocks is he doesn't do trades in the mock, right?
And that's impossible to do. It's really hard to trade.
I like that. I hate when we read through mock drafts that have 6 different trades. You're like, well, how can you really take anything?
What am I looking at?
What am I actually looking at? I mean, he admits when he does his final mock draft, he does some trade projections. But okay. He doesn't touch that till he gets to that point. So I think just writing up the short little blurb he has on Harrison to the Patriots, he only puts that because he expects, and I think this is the most telling thing of this mock draft, is he expects the Patriots to go after a veteran quarterback is what he has written in here. So that maybe is the most interesting thing to me, is that potentially I think that would mean then New England likely trading out of this pick, right? I think there would be more suitors to try to go up to number 3 to get Jaden Daniels, to get that third quarterback out there. But he doesn't mock trade, so he has Marvin Harrison Jr. in there as the third pick. You know what I mean? Like it's a little tough, but he's kind of he's mocking a trade that's not actually in the draft.
The mock draft
signing, right?
Or a free agent signing. I have thoughts on the top of the draft, and we can get to them at the end of the show. Yeah. Coming up next, though, Paul Carr, Champions League. The Champions! I love soccer. We'll get his picks on the other side, a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on college basketball, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get our daily best bets emails, 24/7 video access, the upcoming College Hoops betting guide, bracket breakdowns, plus full access to VSiN.com. Thank you very much. I dropped my pen during that read, and Kelly throws. Look, that's a great producer right there. Throws me a pen mid-read. Look at that. Plus full access to our exclusive betting slip breakdowns on every game. VSiN.com/pro subscribe today. What do you got,
Paul? I'm getting that one back, though. Okay.
Well, you can have it back. So as I was doing the read, I reached into my bag and grabbed the pen out. So I'm a fidgeter. I like to fidget. It is called nervous energy. When I'm hosting a show, it's like duck on the water, right? Duck on the pond. Up here, it looks very calm and normal. Underneath, it's like... And my hands, I'm a fidgeter. I fidget. So sometimes I'll be throwing my pen around, just like toss it across the room.
Yeah, you just tossed it across the bar.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining. Somewhere down here. I'll get it later. All right, we can't use our hands for this next segment, though.
Oh,
only feet. Feet only, because we're bringing in Paul Carr, of course, does a great job for True Media Sports, the Expected Value podcast, and The Ringer, covering the beautiful game of football. We call it soccer here in the States, but you still call it football, right, Paul?
I call it soccer. Look, I was born and raised in America. I don't get bent out of shape over what people call it. We're all talking about the same thing. We know what we're talking about. Everyone just kind of get over yourself a little bit.
So refreshing to hear a soccer guy say, screw the football people. We're calling it soccer. Right. All right. So we have the Champions League. It is the round of 16 today, leg one. And some of that might be French or German or one of the other languages for you if you're not familiar with the sport. So first, fill me in on what the Champions League is, and then talk about the difference between leg one and leg two and why that matters today.
I always equate it to the NCAA tournament in the sense that you're taking the best teams from all the leagues in Europe and put them in one big tournament. The difference is that it's stretched out over the course of the whole season instead of jammed into 1 month in March. So they have the group stage in the fall, September through December, and now the knockout stage has started up. And the first three knockout rounds are all two legs. So you play one game at home of one team, one game at home of the other team, and it's total score, aggregate score, as they call it. Most goals advances. So historically, the first legs have tended to be more conservative. Now, they changed the rules a couple years ago so that away goals don't count double. That's not the first tiebreaker. So we don't have, you know, as much data apples to apples wise to, you know, really calculate that. But the general rule is that these first legs are a little more cautious because, you know, you can't win in the first leg, but you could lose if you, you know, lose by four goals or something. The second leg's basically dead already. So that's kind of the general philosophy that people will take when attacking these first legs.
And it certainly helps today, of course, this being leg one. Everyone is on a clean slate, so we don't have to worry about the aggregate score. But when we get to the next leg, what happened in the first leg absolutely becomes part of the handicap. But again, that is not something we have to worry about today. But let's get to the two matchups today. These start in a few hours. Again, these are afternoon, even morning time, depending on where you kind of are slated in the time zones there. Inter out of Serie A and Atletico Madrid out of La Liga matchup today. What do we got here?
I'm very high on Inter for this whole tournament. They're a runner-up last year. They're arguably the second best team going in Europe right now. They're just dominating Italy on the whole. They've won eight straight games, only two losses all season. And their offense is really good and their defense is really good. They've only given up 12 goals in the league this year. That's the fewest in any of the top five leagues in 20, 25 games or so. At home, only six goals allowed in 12 home games, six straight home shutouts. So just a very strong defensive team that can also score. So to me, that adds up to, I like Inter Milan win to nil today. So win via shutout at plus 180. Some books you may have to like parlay this as an Inter win and both teams to score. No, a lot of them will just have the straight up win to nil option as well. That should be in this price range. Atletico is, they're a decent team. They're not as good as they were two, 3 years ago when they won the La Liga title. So I think Inter's just by far the better team here. And at home, they don't concede goals. I think they win this one without conceding.
Yeah, the to nil bets are always interesting to me. People get confused by that, but it's just that team to win via a shutout. And it's it is a fantastic handicap if you think the defensive-minded club is going to prevail. The other matchup today is an interesting one. You think this one could be high scoring. PSV plays in the Netherlands region and Dortmund out of, I believe, the Bundesliga, correct?
Correct. Yeah. As soon as, and I was saying, you know, low scoring first legs is the general tendency. This one, I just don't see it. So PSV is rolling in Netherlands. They're in first place. They've scored 70 goals and only conceded 10. Now, the Dutch league is notorious for being high scoring. So, but it's still an impressive number really on both sides for them. Only two losses all season for PSV. And Dortmund is, you know, they're a top four-ish Bundesliga team that isn't very good defensively. They're middle of the pack in the Bundesliga defensively, but pretty good offensively as Dortmund usually is. Both these teams tend to kind of, the best defense is a good offense type of philosophy. So I played over 2.5 at minus 145. Obviously that's pretty juicy, but it's just hard to see this one being a tight game, given all the people involved. If you want to, if you're feeling bold, you want to play over 3.5 around plus 175. I don't mind it. Or if you're in a parlay spot, over 2.5 and both teams to score gets you closer to even money. So I think any of those are viable options. I kind of played a little more conservatively here, over 2.5 minus 145.
Good stuff. And the Champions League continues tomorrow. Of course, two more a round of 16 matches. The first one, a team a lot of you know, casual soccer fans might be familiar with, Arsenal from the English Premier League, taking on FC Porto out of the Portuguese league, right? I'm just basically, Porto is in Portugal, right?
Yeah. That's a good deduction there. Porto is they're kind of a mid-major type of team.
Okay.
If you're equating to college basketball, where, you know, last year they probably should have beaten Inter Milan in the knockout stage here, but just kind of got unlucky. So they have years where they're really good. They won Champions League back, almost 20 years ago now, I guess it was. But they're not quite at the peak of their mid-major powers here. Their numbers, all their underlying numbers and their regular numbers, frankly, aren't as good as they were last year. They're third in the Portuguese league, a good distance off the pace right now. And Arsenal is, again, they're one of the top two, three teams in Europe so far. They're not, maybe not quite at Man City's level, but their defense is better. They're really just built on having the ball and not letting the other team score. And since Porto's not scoring like they were last year and in previous seasons, I think, you know, this game will go that way, where Arsenal, they're going to get some goals. You know, they put up 5 on Burnley over the weekend, and I don't think they let Porto get one. So again, go back to the win to nil. Well, plus 180, it's the same price here. Arsenal's on the road. There's a bigger gap between these two teams than there is in the first matchup we talked about, but Arsenal's on the road, so the price is still similar. So yeah, Arsenal win to nil, plus 180, best defensive team really in Europe so far this season. I think that is the dominant storyline here.
The other matchup you don't have a play on, but Napoli and FC Barcelona, again, especially Barcelona, a team that a lot of casual soccer fans might be familiar with. Any vibe for you on this game?
This is the old, you know, to use Gil's Megapod standard, I want no part of this game. If you told me either team won like 4-0, I'd be like, oh, yeah, okay. And if somehow it's ended like 0-0, wouldn't really shock me either. Napoli won Serie A last year, but they're really kind of a mess right now. I think they're 9th place, even though their underlying numbers suggest they should be in the top 3 or 4. And Barcelona's scuffling too. They got a lot of injuries. Gavi, probably maybe their best player in the midfield, is out. Their defense is kind of a mess. Just a lot of moving parts. Lewandowski's getting older and not scoring like he was. So they're both different degrees of a mess right now, and I have no idea what to expect from this one, so it's a stay away from me.
The Champions League futures market is alive and well. I see Arsenal here plus 550. Again, they do play tomorrow, but for the most part, Man City is kind of the dominant team at the top. Is it a collision course for Manchester City to win this thing, or do you think one of these other teams, you got Bayern Munich right there, Real Madrid also kind of within shouting distance, and then a little further down the list, PSG and Inter?
Yeah, I mean, Man City is definitely, I mean, they're the number one team here. No one's going to argue with that. Beyond that, it's a little bit murky, because even if you think City is a little susceptible, especially if there's an injury, like who you're going to take is, you know, very debatable. I like Inter on the long shot here. I played them at plus 1800 a week or two ago, so you might be able to find a better price than the plus 14 or so, but that's the one I like. They have a little bit of a tough matchup here with Atletico, but I think they'll get through this, and I really think they're just playing so well. I think they're second best team in Europe, like I said, right now. So getting, you know, plus 14, 16, 1800, whatever you can find on that, that's the way I would look if I'm looking for a future at this moment.
Paul Carr, True Media Sports, the Expected Value Podcast, and The Ringer does a great job covering the footy for us here on VSiN. We appreciate the time, pal. Good luck today.
Bet, Jared. Thank you.
Good stuff. Arsenal to nil, Inter to nil, and the PSV Dortmund over the next couple days of Champions League round of 16 leg one matches. Great stuff with the picks. I haven't bet Champions League yet, but I'm going to bet these today.
Yeah, I love it. I'll probably be, I'll be tailing
Paul
here
today. Nothing
else
to do this
today.
Afternoon, right?
It's always the, well, Tuesday afternoon, it's always the handicap of golf for me, so it's great soccer on in the background. It's perfect. It's awesome.
You got a big golf tournament. What's the tournament this week?
Mexico Open. It's not going to be a great one this week.
So not a great one this week. So I take that back.
And then we go to Florida after that. So
Florida swing is when things really heat up, right? Arnold Palmer, Bay Hill, Players Championship, all of that on tap in the month of March before they... I love... My favorite thing is when they start playing the Masters theme song during the college basketball CBS. Yeah. It just gets you right in the mood. It's so great. I love the niche sports. The soccers, the golfs. You know, you really find those people that understand it. And Paul Carr does a great job. All right, we'll wrap up. A numbers game on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, this week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers deposit $5, get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. Download the app, use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. I want to thank our guests today, Drew Dinsick, Jim Root, Paul Carr, doing such a great job handicapping their respective sports. Of course, no NBA to get to on the card tonight, but Drew gave you Norman Powell. Keep an eye on him in the sixth man of the year awards market. For Jim Root, he likes UConn tonight on the road to Creighton. He likes Texas A&M, home game against Arkansas, and he'll take Ohio, a little matching against Kent State. And great job by Paul, just came on, gave us three picks for the Champions League today and tomorrow. Likes Arsenal to nil, Inter to nil, and the over in PSV Dortmund. My picks today, I'm kind of on the other side of Jim with this UConn Creighton game. I don't love Creighton, but I like the hook on three. I like that, even though it's not as key of a number as it is in football. But still, 3.5 to 3, I'll take the hook there. I got it last night. It's now sitting mostly three across the market. And I think Creighton, Jim and I have gone back and forth about Creighton a lot this year. They are a really hard team to pin down. I think they are relatively soft in the middle. They're a good rim and three team, and I say that. Shot quality does a great job tracking rim and three rates, and that is basically the rate of shots that you either score or prevent from scoring, defense, offense, at the rim and from the three-point line. Those are the two most valuable shots in college basketball. So the higher the rim and three rate, you would expect you to be a better team. Defensively, Creighton's number one in the country in that category, but as Jim alluded to, the soft middle, right? The mid-range jump shots, which is something UConn does really well, getting inside, getting to the paint, creating. That's where I think UConn is going to have an edge tonight. But Creighton's at home, home environment. I don't see a lot of obstacles down UConn's path to finish. They've got the longest current active winning streak in college basketball. They play at Marquette in a couple weeks, and this game at Creighton. Besides that, maybe in the Big East tournament, and we talked about this yesterday, right? Do you want to lose now? Do you want to run the table and just keep going through the Big East tournament? This is one of those games I could see UConn just saying, you know what? if we don't have our best stuff tonight and Creighton gets off to a hot start, if they're not shooting it well, like this could be one of those games that maybe UConn just punts on and says, we have bigger fish to fry down the road. And on the other side for Creighton, this is kind of like their Super Bowl hosting. How often you host the number one team in the country in your building at your gym. So I think it could be an interesting one. Jim's better than anyone at handicapping this stuff, so I'm not going to, again, shove my entire bankroll on Creighton catching 3.5, but I am on the Blue Jays tonight. I'm always transparent with my picks. The other picks I have tonight, I laid 3 with BYU. That's out to 4. You can probably find a 3.5 if you look hard enough. That's probably my favorite look of the day. BYU, I would love a 3. 3.5, I still feel comfortable laying it. I think that has a chance if Baylor doesn't have their A stuff. They don't have their lungs at altitude tonight. I think that could be one that gets away from them. And I also took 7 with San Francisco. I think I like these revenge games, and maybe I'm a sucker for them. Maybe I'm a sucker for the narrative, but I like teams that have lost to another team and you get another crack at them. Now, I don't love this game's on the road, but I'll take 7 with the Dons tonight in a low total game and hope that they can keep things close. So those are my picks. I feel like we had a lot of good, not quite high-end sports, college basketball, yeah, soccer, a lot of interesting stuff on the card today, Kelly.
Yeah, we really do. A little all over the place.
Champions League, the
college
whole nine
yards tonight. I'm looking forward. I'll be tailing you on BYU. I'll be looking.
Yeah, I like BYU a lot tonight.
You know, with me doing NBA every night, and so there's very few nights where I get to watch some college basketball and kind of enjoy it, which while trying to monitor everything NBA wise. So, yeah, great college basketball card tonight. I'm looking forward to catching a couple of these games.
I love it.
What would you say? BYU good out to 4.5?
I think 4 is where I think I wouldn't lay more than 4.
Okay.
I think 4, because it looks like 4 is where we've seen a little bit of pushback. So the way that I try to handicap these moves in college basketball, by the time we get to this point in the morning, it's 9 o'clock here in Pacific time, it's noon on the East Coast. I already feel like the big moves have happened in the market. It's mostly overnight. And you kind of see, like we talked about yesterday, like sometimes you see like a wave, it's like 3 or 4 point
right
move.
Yeah,
you see that a lot more on totals than you do on sides. With the sides, you can kind of tell, and last night's game, Houston-Iowa State's the perfect example. You can kind of tell where the bumpers are in the market. Like, you ever play bumper bowling?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you play the bumper lanes, right?
Yeah, I was 3, Jared, because I pull a 260.
You know, you hit both sides of it, goes back and forth. Last night with Iowa State, it was open 9.5, immediate buy down to 7.5 by the morning time.
Okay.
And then that's where 7.5, you saw it back to 8.
Yeah, because we were talking about it on the show. It was like 8.5, right?
And we saw a little more buy. It got all the way down. South Point got down to 7.5.
Wow, okay.
And then we saw some buy back to 8, and then I think it landed 7.5, some spots 8, and the game landed 8. So that's how I feel about BYU. BYU land open 3, immediate jump out to 4.
Okay.
And then you saw You didn't go to 4. A
little bit of buyback, yeah.
A little bit of 4. All right, now you saw 3.5 pop back up and then back to 4, and then maybe another 3.5 and then back to 4. So you feel okay that 4, you're not going to go to 4.5 probably, but you're also probably not going to go back down to 3. So if you lay 3.5, you probably feel pretty good that you're not going to lose value with that bet. And I did see a Superbook has a 3.5 right now. So if you want to go over to Westgate there, lay 3.5 with BYU, I think you're making an okay bet. So Iowa State plus 9 was the official wager last night for me. BYU tonight. If I win, we won Iowa State last night. If we win by, you guys have to have me back for some college basketball picks.
Oh, yeah, of course, Jerry.
You can't leave a winning streak hanging. I mean, if I go two straight, am I 2 days filling in here?
Oh, you're good. Yeah.
I mean, we're goodness getting you
gracious. Back on. Be careful. You don't want to talk yourself into guest spots here on this show.
I'm talking to you. So you're the guy that makes all the.
Paul's been doing like every Tuesday for 8 straight years, I'm pretty sure. You better be careful with what you ask for, Jared.
Well, I'll come back until I give out a loser. And then they're like, I'll get some Twitter troll. All right, screw this guy. His streak's done. He gave out a loser. His picks are dead to me now after one loser.
I did catch that. And I didn't see it live, but I caught the ending of the Iowa State one this morning. I was sweating before you watched the highlights because I think we were talking about it yesterday, but like, okay, it always cracks me up, the two different schools of like, okay, I bet the NBA, I bet the college basketball, and there's that Venn diagram, right? But there are some people like myself that are so just on the one because like there are certain things that you get scared of with the other. College basketball for me, it's always free throws.
Oh, the free throws are the worst.
And that's the number one reason for me. My mind explodes watching these kids brick the front ends of one and ones, and you're just like, they're free. They're called free throws.
Iowa State didn't have a good night at the line last night either.
But then it's the end of that game, right? And you're like, oh God, how hard are these guys going to try? Like, just let it. And it's, I know this is the reason why a lot of college basketball people don't like the NBA. But in that situation in the NBA, it's, all right, this game's over. It's been over for a while. Let's
down
all,
8 with 10 seconds left. It's
pick
over.
Up the ball.
They
let's
might
go
foul
home.
In college basketball.
They
there.
Might foul, yeah.
So are you a Marvel fan? You like the MCU?
Sure, yeah, I like them.
The end game. That's what I call it. Last night, like, Iowa State was within the number for, like, 75% of that game last night. They started slow. Houston got off to a fast start. Iowa State only scored 23 in the first half. There was a moment in the first half where I was like, man, Iowa State might not have it tonight. Then in the second half, they started to make some threes, and they were within the number for pretty much the whole game, within a bucket of the number for the whole game. And then you get to the end.
You get to that point, yeah.
You get to that minute 10, minute 20 left. You're down 8.
You got to make a move. I mean, you got to try to cut that lead.
You got a foul. And then the free throws come in. And thankfully, Iowa State didn't go, let's just jack up threes and pray. They did what a smart team should do, right to the rim. Because Houston just, ole, let them go right down the lane. And Iowa State had a couple layups, a couple free throws. They made their free throws down the stretch. Actually, they made 4 free throws, 4 straight free throws, their last 4 free throws of the game.
Ooh, clutch.
Very clutch, because up until that point, they were 6 of 11 at the line.
Oh, man.
So I'm thinking to myself, they're going to miss this by a bucket, and they're going to go 6 of 11 at the line, and that's going to be the reason why they didn't cover. Thankfully, they made 4 straight free throws, 4 for 4 down the stretch. Houston didn't miss free throws, but Iowa State, the last breath.
Yeah, made them what you needed to have.
They called off the dogs. There was 20 seconds or so left. Iowa State had made 2 free throws to pull within 8. We're within the number, and I am on my couch screaming at the top of my lungs at 9 o'clock at night in the middle of the desert, don't foul! Don't foul! That's why we won. It wasn't because Iowa State had this great game, and again, Houston deserved to win that game. They probably deserved to cover that game, but the end game.
Oh, I was watching.
We're in the end game now.
I was watching the first half.
First half was ugly. If you watch that first half, I was like, there's no chance.
Iowa State had like 6 points to like, what, the 5-minute mark or something? I was watching like a middle school basketball game at
overwhelmed.
First.
Overwhelmed. Houston does that to you.
Wow.
Houston is like the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar of the NBA. I mean, they will lock you down. Of course, old school Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I had fun the last 2 days. I appreciate the time. Kelly Bidlin doing his thing. Everyone back behind the glass doing their stuff as well. I'm Jared Smith, a numbers game. Stay with VSiN.